Back in 1939, as the Second World War was breaking out, Winston Churchill spoke about the position of Russia in regards to the war, and he said the following. He said, "I cannot forecast to you the action of Russia. It is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma, but perhaps there is a key. A riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma." And never mind Russia, there is a sense for just so many people that life itself is like that as far as their personal circumstances are concerned. They can't make sense of life. It feels like a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. They can't find any key for it, and they live life kind of helplessly at the mercy of circumstances. And they get blown one way and the other, and there just seems to be no rhyme or reason for how they are living. But then we turn to the opening words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we read the following. "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." There is a season to everything and a time to every purpose under the heavens. And suddenly, we have light breaking through the darkness. We have, as it were, the fog lifting. As God's word speaks about times and seasons, purposes and activities, and suddenly we feel to ourselves, well, you know, maybe behind it all, there is a God at work. The first thing to realize here, just for a few moments, think about these words, is that our times are in God's hands. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die is the first thing that is said there in verse 2. Nowadays, modern people think that they're in charge of life with contraception at one end and euthanasia and suicide at the other. It seems like we are in charge of life and of death. But God's word says that in reality it is God who is the author of life, and God is the Lord of death, as Jesus demonstrated by his resurrection from the grave. So as we look ahead into 2018, we need not fear, this word is saying to us. If you think about a bookend at either end of a book of shelves, a shelf of books, you've got a bookend on either end, and you've all these books in between. This is what God is saying to us here in his word. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And if that is the case, if I know the day you're going to be born and I know the day you're going to die, I know every day in between as well. You need not live in dread or fear of the future. You need not live in dread or fear about tomorrow or the next day. Worry is the watchword of so many people. They live with an ever-present sense of dread. But here from God's word, we have encouragement tonight to find rest and relief, to let go of trying to control our own lives. Very common nowadays to hear people say, "I'm going to take control of my own life." Neither you nor I ultimately can control our lives. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. Our days are appointed unto us from the Lord God Almighty. And here as we think about these words of wisdom from Ecclesiastes, this is what is coming across to us. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. I was listening this afternoon to someone giving his testimony online. This man, just called Derek for reasons which will become obvious, has spent 13 years in jail for drugs offenses in the United States. But his girlfriend, when he was going into jail, these folk were completely off the radar in terms of any church activity. But she had started to go to church, and she said to him in jail, "Maybe you should start reading John's message in the Bible." He didn't even know there was somebody called John in the Bible. But when he got his Bible, he discovered the letters of John, and he began to read the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, towards the end of the New Testament. And as a result of that, he got saved and came to know the Lord. And now he has a ministry to prisoners And he was giving his testimony, and it was lovely to hear how sincere he was, how in his life he had been a dead dog, but now he was a servant of the Lord. And when I was thinking about that for the application of this tonight, 13 years in jail is really bad news, isn't it? If any of us were sentenced to 13 years in jail, that would be horrendous. But God used it for good. God used it for good. And that man's life has been turned around. It's taken 13 years out of his life, but that's the time he's sitting down to read the Bible, and he's found God as a result of that. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. The other thing to realize here in this passage is that opportunities have to be grasped, because we're not saying when we talk about letting go and letting God be in charge of our lives that we do nothing and we just resign ourselves to fatalism. Because this next section, verses 2 to 8, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Seed won't plant itself. Fruit won't harvest itself. The farmer has to go to work. The gardener has to go to work. When seed time comes, you have to grasp the opportunity. When harvest time comes, you have to grasp the opportunity. In other words, the writer is saying, don't waste the opportunities that come your way. Don't sit in your hands. He says there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Perhaps he's thinking of warfare when it's necessary and a time of war for a nation to go to war. But maybe more contextually, he means there's a time to kill, let's say, an animal for food. But there's also a time to heal. Again, maybe an animal. You may take it to the vet or you may medicate it yourself. But the secret is to know what's the right thing to do here. The wisdom is in knowing the right action. Sometimes it's right to kill. Sometimes it's right to heal. You need wisdom, but you need to take action as well. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Again, he is saying, if you're going to live this life of faith and trust God for whatever will come in your life, you've got to be sensitive to the people around you. You don't go into a place where there's been a death and you tell jokes, nor do you go into a party with a face like a Lurgan Spade. You've got to be sensitive. You've got to seize your opportunities. You've got to work with the people that are around you and live in that environment. And so he goes on giving many other examples, a time to rip and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to save and a time to spend. Again, he's just making the point of action. It's necessary. Not that we live life at the mercy of circumstances, but that you and I, we seize the opportunities that come to us. And we take up the service that God sets before us. Just as Linda has shared with us, she took up that opportunity to go to Mayo when it was set before her. And the last thing here is simply a kind of a reminder at the end of this section that life on earth ultimately is not going to satisfy. It's good to remember God as the author of time. It's good to remember the opportunities that we have and to grasp those opportunities. But ultimately, this world cannot satisfy, because God has put eternity into our hearts. That's what it says there in verse 10. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In other words, this world is not it. Seizing the opportunities and making money and sowing and planting and scattering stones and gathering stones and building up and tearing down, those things are good, but you need to keep perspective. This life is not ultimately it. There is an eternity to come, and only eternity can fill eternity. It's interesting, you know, in the Bible, number of people came to Jesus. The woman at the well was trying to fill the emptiness in her life with relationships with men, one man after another. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he was trying to fill the emptiness in his life with religion. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he was trying to fill the emptiness in his life with his riches and all the good things that were in his life, but he was looking for something else. None of them, whether it was relationships or whether it was religion or whether it was wealth, could find the God-shaped hole in their lives being filled. Only God can fill the hole that is left in our lives, because God has set eternity there. And of course, it was Jesus himself who said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It is Jesus Christ who gives eternity. It is Jesus Christ who ultimately satisfies. It is Jesus Christ who is the eternal one. And this is life eternal, to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the only Son of the only true God. There is a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. And the scriptures tonight are encouraging us going into the new year, but also reminding us that ultimately only Christ can satisfy, and only in him can we find that emptiness in our lives filled with the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And we thank you that we have been reminded tonight of eternity. We have been reminded tonight, Lord God, of the things of this world. Help us, our God, we pray. Help us, we pray, Father, to take hold in this incoming year of the opportunities that are before us, but most of all, to take hold of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins, coming again to claim for himself those who are his own. Our God, we pray that we might fix our eyes upon Jesus, in whose name we ask and pray. Amen.